So, big thank you to Ariana and Kendra for opening the space to us, and for all of you for showing up here tonight. It shows a lot of care, you know, for our world and each other to be here. So I appreciate that. So I already had a wonderful introduction, but I'll introduce myself a little more. My name's Beatrice, and I'm a mom trying to create a better world for my child. I'm founder of Cool Communities, a small group program. I'm a community advocate fighting for a just and livable future for all children and all people. So today's plan, we're going to learn about carbon footprints and how to reduce them, learn how to talk about climate change, and plug into local action groups. So that was abrupt. Okay. So I show this slide. I only have two graphs in this whole presentation. So this is per capita carbon footprints. And you can see the United States is way up there. And so this is my household after about 3 years of work getting it down. So it didn't happen overnight. And the reason why I show this slide is not to show like, oh, you know, we're so bad, you know, look at us doing this bad stuff. It's to show these other countries that have a great quality of life have a way lower carbon footprint than us. We don't have to have this huge carbon footprint to have a good quality of life. So this is a quote from an author whom I really respect. It's saying that we don't recommend taking these personal actions because they make such a big difference. You know, we're all just this tiny drop in a huge ocean, right? But it's about shifting our cultural norms of what's accepted. Because people taking actions in their life is the best way to show that we want these bigger policy changes. And they're not mutually exclusive. There's no reason why you can't be pushing for both at the same time, big policy changes and doing individual stuff. There's been recently in the environmental world kind of this like butting of heads. You know, should we be doing individual action? Should we only be focusing on collective action? And you know, I just really think this quote, if you all can see it, just really, to me, it just says like we don't need to choose, and both are equally important. So there's a statistic that solar salespeople who have solar on their own homes are 63% more successful. So that's a huge thing. And then I forget exactly what the statistic is, but homes, when there's a home with solar array on a block, it's like way more likely that the homes around them will then get solar, especially if it's a home that's visible from the road. So, you know, the message that we are projecting out into the world, it really does affect the people around us. So it's an important one. So what is a carbon footprint? Probably if you're here, you know already, but I always put this up because sometimes people come in and they're like, what? I don't even know what that is. So it's the total carbon dioxide equivalent and equivalent greenhouse gases emitted by your household activities for 1 year. It's interesting what the media has told us is really important and impactful versus what the numbers come out to be, you know. So a lot of people are surprised, and I was really surprised, so it's really good to know. So you have my email on there. You're always welcome to email me, you know, with questions after this workshop. I'm available. So high versus low. So sometimes I talk about this and sometimes I don't. So waste reduction, we're kind of in two crises right now, and they're interrelated, but they're not really the same thing. And one of them is the climate crisis, and one of them is waste crisis. They're kind of like two intersecting circles, you know. But waste doesn't actually, even plastic waste, doesn't actually have that big of a carbon footprint compared to other things. In the 100 or so Asheville carbon footprints that I've looked at, the biggest factors are always driving and airplanes. Usually airplanes is the biggest. And that doesn't mean that other stuff isn't important. It just means that we may not always be seeing the things that are the most high impact in terms of climate warming gases because they're invisible. They're not in front of us. They're not that like piece of cucumber that's wrapped in that ridiculous plastic, which I agree is totally outrageous. But yeah, in terms of a carbon footprint, I'm not saying don't worry about it, but that is probably lower on my personal list of goals to work on. For one thing, because waste was the first thing that I started thinking of when I started on a sustainability journey, because it's so prevalent in the media and in other people's, that's what a lot of people are working on. So it was kind of like I worked on that first, and then I was like, okay, what do I do next? And then I started really diving into carbon footprints, and I realized that waste wasn't a huge factor. When you're talking about a personal carbon footprint, it's usually flying is up here, driving is up here, and waste is, Yeah, I mean, buying new stuff is a huge carbon footprint. So, when you're talking about a new item, regardless of what it is, and then, its attendant packaging is all going to be very high. I mean, I would just put the focus on the things that are the biggest impact, which tend to be driving and flying and eating meat. So it's those three. Driving large single occupancy vehicles like the minivan that I own and drive, because that's what I have. I'm not a rich person. I can't buy a new car because, I on a whim, and nor would I want to, right? Because it's got all that embodied carbon that was already produced. So I try to drive it only when I really need to. Flying, and then eating meat, especially beef. So this is a few relative impact things. These are pounds CO2 emissions. So you can see avoiding one flight for one person from Charlotte to San Francisco, driving a Prius instead of a minivan for 10,000 miles out here, reducing electricity use by 5,000 kilowatts for a year. So that's about like getting yourself a solar array for your house. Avoiding the use of 10 plastic bags per week for a year, pretty small. One person switching from meat to vegetarian diet, so that would be include dairy, which actually has a pretty big carbon footprint. So for the Prius, I'm counting that as a gas. I'm not talking about a plug-in one. I'm talking about just a more efficient gas car.
Efficient
Gas car.
gas.
Yeah. So
Okay.
I actually
It's a
for
hybrid, not a
right for a hybrid. So I actually just did a unit of research for my program on electric cars versus, hybrid and just very efficient gas cars. If it's powered by coal, it's about the same carbon footprint over its lifetime, because producing the battery is very high in terms of carbon emissions. But if you can power your electric car from solar, then you're going to cut it way down.
Or biofuel or something.
Right. Yeah, not biofuel because it's electricity. But and it also just encourages that transition that we need to make. We bring in renewable energy into our electricity grid, but then we don't electrify our vehicle fleet, we're missing out on a third of carbon emissions that's from transportation. So it's like kind of maybe it's putting the cart before the horse to be buying electric vehicles before we switched our grid over to renewable energy, but it just like sets the stage for it. So if you do have the choice of buying an electric car versus a gas car, I do encourage it, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. So behavior change tips and tricks. We're going to move into the behavior change section of the night. So we all want to change behaviors, but it's really hard. How many of you guys started a New Year's resolution that's now no longer on the table, no longer happening? I did. I just try to keep in mind that when I try to do a behavior change and it doesn't work out, it's not because I'm a bad person and am weak and didn't achieve what I should have achieved. It's usually because there's some obstacle either in the way that I set the goal or in the way that I facilitated it happening. So I just encourage people to set SMART goals, which is specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and targeted. And then we are a strange species that we have this whole thing about starting on certain days. So it's just been studied that if we start on what I call a fresh start date, which is a Monday, your birthday, first day of spring, first day of the month, we're just a lot more likely to stick to our goal because we're weird. So finding a mentor is also really important. I'm in the process of trying to become a regular bus rider, and for a long time I thought, like, there's just no way I could ever do that. And then I met this woman she's very similar to me, same age, same, you know, just a lot of things about us are similar, and she only rides the bus. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to switch over to only riding the bus, but I can ride the bus once in a while. So now I'm trying to ride the bus at least once a week. So write down why you're doing it and post it in your house. Sometimes it can be really helpful to have a visual reminder of what you're doing and why. And making it easy, plan ahead and clear away obstacles. So with my bus goal, I realized that I wasn't doing it because I didn't own an umbrella. And it was like such a simple thing, but I kept being like, why can't I do it? Why can't I achieve what I want to achieve? And then I just realized, well, every time it's raining, I just want to hop in the car. It's so much easier. Like, well, they make a thing for that. So I just went out and got an umbrella, and it was like just clearing away those obstacles. What is it that's going to stop you from doing what you want to do? Yes, time bound. Saying I'm going to try this for 30 days and just see how it goes. So yeah, if we guys could just take a minute to write down some things that are maybe floating in your head. Maybe you've had some idea already that you want to work on. Something that's been bubbling up for you a lot. You don't have to write it down, but you just think about it. You know what? I was in a group with a guy, and he said, my grandkids are in Wales, and I'm always going to fly to Wales every year, and nothing you say is going to stop me. And I was like, I'm not trying to stop you. And then he came back the next time, and he said, I did some research. Next time, I'm going to go on a cargo ship. And so he's going to rent a cabin in a cargo ship. So types of change that we can engage in are lifestyle systems changes or behavior changes. So behavior changes are things like eating less meat or taking shorter showers or driving less frequently. Systems changes are changing your shower head, buying a more fuel efficient car, getting a more efficient HVAC system, or sealing up windows, that sort of thing. So, and there's advantages to both. And, you know, the advantage to a lifestyle systems change is that you only do it once, and then it's done, and you don't have to think about it anymore. The advantage to a behavior change is that it really engages your mind and why you're doing it, and it engages people around you and why you're doing it. So there's really, you know, for a long time, policymakers and educators were focusing a lot on lifestyle systems changes, because they thought, oh, if we can just get people to do these changes, and then they don't have to think about it anymore, right? But we weren't creating people who really, really cared about these things. We were just sort of shifting people's devices and not shifting their minds. So I like to think about foot in the door actions, because a lot of times it'll give us a boost if we can do something right away, just to, you know, get started, because sometimes it just feels like the inertia to get started is so heavy. So for transportation, pump up your tires and get unneeded weight out of your car. For every 50 pounds that are in your car, you lose a mile of fuel efficiency.
Great.
Yeah, so if you're like me, for every 50 pounds that you have in your car additional, like besides people, you lose a mile of fuel efficiency.
Wow.
So obviously, it's better to drive two people in your car than drive two separate cars to make your car slightly more fuel efficient. But if you've got, you know, that bag of kitty litter that you use for slick ice in your car, and it's the middle of summer, take it out. So it's important to get that weight out, and then pumping up your tires also really improves your fuel efficiency. For food, you know, if you're a meat eater or a dairy eater, just picking one day a week. You don't have to go full bore all at once. What I did was I love my cheese and my milk, and I just gave up milk in my tea. I just switched to soy milk for my tea and everything else. And it was just like just that one change, and now I can kind of envision making more changes, where before I was like, no, you know, I'd never do that. So it's just that one little getting your foot in the door can really help. Home energy, switch to a low flow shower head, you know, buy a reusable mug or bring your own bags, just kind of getting your head in that place. Fill your dishwasher all the way every time. You know, for community engagement, we're going to talk about that next, but signing a petition, making a phone call, that sort of thing. Yeah, so just something to get your momentum going, something to make you feel like, okay, I achieved something. What can I do next? Cleaning, replacing the filters when they need to be replaced, which is a lot. Because so my friend who's a home energy expert, she told me that when you have an HVAC filter that has a bunch of dust on it, that increases the like forcing against it. So it makes it has to use more energy to force the air through it. So you want to take it out, clean it, replace it, however your furnace works, as frequently, you know, as up to 3-4 times a year. Yeah, so that's a good one. It's really important. And keeping your appliances tuned up, maintained. So here, that's called Arcadia. So yeah, so Duke has a requirement of how much renewable energy they're supposed to be using. So by doing that, you're kind of, you pay Arcadia, which is a wind farm, like I think in Texas or something, and then they pay Duke your bill, and then Duke, so it like kind of feeds into that whole system of encouraging energy companies to meet their renewable energy quotas. So it's a great thing to do. You know, I wish we had more renewable energy here, but so how to talk about climate change? We're going to shift into engaging with other people about climate change now. How many of you have had a recent conversation with somebody in person about climate change? Wow, this is quite the group. Normally when I say that, it's like nobody, no hands go up. So all right, can you press the link?
Yeah.
So we're gonna watch a little 2-minute video. I'm gonna get a drink of water. On to the next slide. I just wanna give you guys a little bit of what you can do to plug into local groups. So how to get involved with local climate action, find a group that appeals to you, or you can go it alone if you're a loner type person. Dedicate an hour per week. This was the suggestion that I heard. And it was like, if you can find an hour to say every Saturday at 3 p.m., I spend 1 hour thinking about climate change, journaling about it, how can I get involved, internet research, set that timer and give yourself an hour. And then let yourself off the hook so you don't have to feel guilty all the time. You know, you're spending that hour and then give yourself a little relief. So show up for your local government meetings. Who here has been to a local government meeting? I hadn't up until recently. So you are entitled to go to your decision-making meetings of your government. So you have the right as a citizen to show up and tell them that's not how you want them to spend your money. February 25th, city council meetings. Every other Tuesday, you have the right to show up at a city council meeting and talk about whatever you want. And primaries are happening now. So do your research, find candidates that you really feel strongly about that support the environment. So volunteering in our community is always a wonderful way to get involved. These are all groups that I really support. We have Energy Savers Network does low-income weatherization. You can actually go and weatherize people's homes, or if you're not into that sort of thing, you can do administrative stuff for them. Getting involved in the Community Garden Network here. Asheville Greenworks does a lot with waste reduction, planting trees. It's a wonderful organization. If you love biking, bike advocacy, Asheville on Bikes. The Sunrise Movement, Asheville, they're like kicking butt right now. So they're a political advocacy group specifically for, they're youth-led, but everybody's welcome to join. They recently pushed for the city council to adopt the climate emergency resolution. That was them. And they're doing so much locally and nationally too. Sierra Club, Citizens Climate Lobby. If you're somebody who loves like numbers and graphs, they're your people. Not my people, but somebody's people. And Mountain True does a lot of wonderful things locally as well. So let's do a quick checkout exercise. What is something you learned today that excites you that you want to learn more about? Thank you. So thank you so much all for being here. I have